Welcome back to the Hawks Report, everyone. I'm Lauren Williams, the host of the Hawks Report and the beat reporter here at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you the stories behind the score. And it's been a big week for the Hawks. They picked up two straight wins, you know, on a back-to-back at that, but they had a tough time in Brooklyn. But they finished that trip 1-2 in New York, and unfortunately for them, they come back home and they have to deal with injuries again, which has been the theme of this team this year. But if you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to rate, subscribe, review, and keep tuning in to the Hawks Report. This is the Hawks Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Welcome back. Again, as I mentioned when we kicked this episode off, it's been a tough week for the Hawks. They finished their New York road trip 1-2, falling to the Nets twice in consecutive games, but then picking up a win over the New York Knicks, who were without Jalen Brunson. But we saw a really great matchup for the Hawks, a connected team that played defensively, didn't panic when they gave up a 22-point lead to the Knicks and they managed to pull out the win. But I think it's a great rebound from their losses to the Nets on Thursday last week and Saturday. So it's hard. Again, it's team snip snap. We see, you know, both sides of the coin where the Hawks are playing really, really well and then not so well. So when you see that Nets, those two Nets games, the second one, they started off on the right foot, went into halftime with an 11-point lead. But then, unfortunately for them, the Nets and Mikal Bridges catch fire and it's just downhill from there. So I think, you know, as this team continues moving forward, I think we see how they kind of internalize what happened in those two Nets games and they were able to execute it against the Knicks. I mean, yeah, you can make the argument that, you know, they were playing the Knicks' whatever squad you want to say, because not only were they without Jalen Brunson, they were without Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, and OG Anunoby. So down four of their starters, but it doesn't matter. The Hawks did what they were supposed to do and they executed, particularly when things got tough. So Daniel, when you think about that New York trip, I guess, what are your biggest takeaways? Because for me, I think the biggest takeaway is that they know how to stick to the game plan. The issue is they just can't do it consistently.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed in the road trip just from the fact that you couldn't at least split those two games against Brooklyn before you played New York. So I just don't understand this team. You mentioned snips and that. It's just you kind of had a little momentum winning your first couple of games without Trae Young. You're like, oh, okay. You know, they're playing pretty good. Now you got to go on the road to face a Nets team that, you know, you can help create some space in that play-in spot for 10th. And then you go out there and drop two. And again, you mentioned the second game was a little better than the first one, but that first one, it just didn't look like they showed up. So that's the confusing part for me. And you're right. No matter what the situation was with New York, with the Knicks, they're still a really good team, despite all of those injuries that they had. The fact that you win that one and then pull out the win against Cleveland, which we'll get to, was certainly a nice step in the right direction. But I just, Yeah, it's just hard to figure out this team, which is it's been all year long. But those two losses in Brooklyn were kind of the biggest puzzle pieces I was trying to put together. I still understand why it was so tough to make that happen. So when you look at those two games, you talk about the inconsistencies. Was it the execution? Does it boil down to execution, or does it boil down to something else?
I definitely think it's execution, just because they know what to do. I think when you look at that second Brooklyn game, they did the right things in that first quarter to really and truly create some separation with the Nets. They closed out on the three-point shooters and helped kind of limit Cam Johnson early in the game. Of course, you know, Mikal Bridges is Mikal Bridges, and he's going to make adjustments and sort of figure things out. But you saw that they were doing all of the right things, but then they come back in the second half in particular, and it's just, you know, they go to isolation ball and stop moving the ball. You see some people just kind of hogging it a little bit. They're hesitating on shots instead of being aggressive and attacking. So it does come down to execution and just not doing what the game plan is consistently. And, you know, one of the big things is that in a game, things are going to change. Even though you may have a game plan per se, things are going to change. And so you do want to have coaches adjust on the fly. And I think, you know, we did see them try to make adjustments throughout the night, but the Hawks just could not execute on them. So I think, yeah, it comes back to that E word and them not being able to do so consistently.
We talk about now a decent sample size without Trae Young, as far as how many games we've seen the Hawks without him. Are you noticing anything, whether it's positive or negative, that you can be like, oh, maybe there's sometimes a little bit more cohesion, especially, again, Trae and DeJounte, or, wow, this is what we're really missing. Obviously, you're missing a superstar, you're missing an all-star, so the obvious is there as far as what you're missing, but have you noticed any trends as far as what you're maybe seeing about this team without Trae Young?
I think the big thing is that they still very much need Trae, because there are moments in the games where the offense will fall stagnant and you do need somebody who is a dynamic passer, who has the ability to read the game the way that Trae does. And so I don't think this team is necessarily better without Trae Young. And I think that's the easy thing that you can point to in some of these wins, is you could say, oh yeah, this team is better without Trae. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, whether they are able to enact the plan and continue to move the ball. I think when we see things fall apart, it's just like last season. When we see things fall apart, it's because you have guys who sort of stop playing for each other and the ball is sticking to one side of the court. They're not getting defenses off balance. They're not making quick, decisive reads. And again, they're hesitating. And so I think the big thing is you need all hands on deck. So I don't necessarily think that this team is better without Trae. I think they still very much need him, because he does have that ability to make quick, decisive decisions. And I think the next step for him is to, you know, continue trusting in his teammates and making sure that he continues to move the ball, because we see that when they do that, great things happen for this team, particularly because you can get guys like DeAndre Hunter into a rhythm, and he's been thriving off of the bench. And I think you still see in some moments, particularly in fourth quarters, when things get tough, that they do revert to those old habits of, I haven't touched the ball in a while, so I have to go get my shot, or I have to go, you know, go score the ball, or I have to put the team on my back, when really it should be a collective effort. And that's something that, you know, Quinn Snyder has talked a lot about, is the collective and it not just being on one soul or a couple of people.
I'm glad you brought up DeAndre Hunter. We'll get into him a little bit more later on in the podcast. But before we take a break, has anyone, you mentioned some of the players that have been able to play, has anyone stepped up in Trae's absence? Has anyone taken advantage of the opportunity that's been presented, as far as whether it's the minutes that they've been given because of Trae's absence?
Yeah, I think that we've continued to see the rise of Jalen Johnson, you know, particularly before he had that injury on Wednesday night in the Hawks' win over the Cavaliers. I think we're seeing him be a guy who is taking more initiative and is generating a lot of plays for his teammates and he's initiating the offense a little bit more. I think we've continued to see DeJounte Murray step up. And again, like I said, when the ball is moving, great things happen. And we've seen DeJounte have 10 assist nights, 11 assist nights. You know, we've seen, again, we talk about DeAndre Hunter. We've seen him stepped up. So again, it's not necessarily falling on one person. I think that you can really say that in Trae Young's absence, everyone has stepped up because they do understand that, you know, on any given night, they could be the player that a team decides to hone in on and try to shut down. And so it's going to take everyone to pull out the win, regardless of whether Trae comes, you know, regardless of when Trae comes back. That has to be an attitude that they have, you know, for the rest of the season, whenever Trae comes back, or, you know, when they carry that into next season.
Well, speaking of Jalen Johnson, we'll get an injury update on him from Lauren after this quick break. You're listening to the Hawks Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Hip hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song. A celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny
one film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
Welcome back to the Hawks Report, everyone. We are excited to announce a great deal for Greater Atlanta. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. As long as you keep your subscription, you have access to the substance and soul of the South, including breaking news and in-depth investigations, food, sports, business, and much more from AJC.com. And that's every day for the rest of your life. Subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start to take advantage of the South's biggest deal. And remember, this is for new subscribers only. But Daniel, as you mentioned before, you know, we went to our break. The Hawks will be without Jalen Johnson for a little bit of time. He is, fortunately, in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to injuries, he's day to day after, you know, the team's medical officials diagnosed him with a right ankle sprain. And the fact that he's day to day is a good sign, which means that, you know, it potentially isn't, you know, as bad as maybe the injury initially looked when it happened in that third quarter of Wednesday night's game against the Cavs.
Ankle injuries always freak me out because even when it says sprain for basketball players, sprain could be, as you mentioned, pretty severe and they could take a long time to heal because you really can't do much besides rest it. So the fact that it is day to day is a really good sign. Am I being too optimistic to say that maybe he could be back Sunday, or do you think with an ankle sprain, it might be a little longer than that? I know day to day is day to day, but does that mean an occasion that it could be a Sunday return, or do you think it could be longer?
I feel like that would probably be a slightly a little bit too soon, just because I think the Hawks have been a bit conservative when it comes to returning players to injuries this season. And that's a good thing because they're prioritizing a guy's health. So, you know, I wouldn't, if he plays Sunday, that's great, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. Like you said, in ankle injuries, particularly sprains, are just always hard to judge or predict how a person will heal from it.
Well, that means you might need a little bit more from DeAndre Hunter. I want to talk about him a little bit and just what he's been able to do in his last 9 games. He's had 17 or more points in 7 of those 9. 5 of those have been 20 or more points. We discussed it a little bit last week, but now you're seeing it more and more, the consistency from him off the bench. What are you noticing from him on why he's been a lot more successful off the bench, still on a minutes restriction nonetheless?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that he is taking in the game when he's on the bench. And so he has the ability to kind of read the pace, react to the pace, and kind of game plan for himself individually from there. And then he can also see how, you know, the scouting report kind of stacks up against what the reality is. And I think that's great. I mean, he's been thriving off the bench, as you mentioned, his stats over the last 9 games. And I think a lot of people are finally, as you said, seeing the consistency that they wanted to out of DeAndre. And that there's something to be said about his ability to come in and be an energy spark off of the bench for this team, especially because, you know, when with all the injuries that were happening, the Hawks had, you know, some down scoring coming off of the bench, and he's kind of reinvigorated that. And I think it's great to see how he's kind of carved some value for himself and potentially making a sixth man bid, you know, if he'd been on a team that maybe had a better record.
Do you see this being his role throughout the remainder of the season, whether this team is healthy or not, or do you eventually see him going back into the starting lineup?
Yeah, I think with, you know, the injury to Jalen Johnson, the fact that Trae Young is out as well, DeAndre is probably going to have to start in Friday's game against the Grizzlies. I think it will all depend on how long Jalen Johnson is out. But I think, you know, once Jalen Johnson comes back, he'll, you know, likely move back to the bench. But, you know, the Hawks do have, you know, Dylan Windler, who they signed to a 2-way contract on Monday. So there's a little bit of depth there. But then they also can bring up guys like Seth Lundy and Mogay, who's been, you know, finding some rhythm in the G League since he was assigned to the Skyhawks, you know, over the last few weeks. And maybe they bring up AJ Griffin again, who's also been doing all right down in the G League as well.
Did you know that? I'm sure you did know this, that Windler holds the G League record for most rebounds in the game.
I did know that. What is it, 33?
I think it's 32, 33. It's one of those numbers, but the fact that there is a, you know, record breaker on this team, you know, does add some depth here, and you never know if they could use him or not. But I want to go back to DeAndre just a little bit, because obviously he signed that contract in 2022, a very lucrative contract. And I know you can't judge everyone by their contract and whether they're worth it or not. But at the same time, the Hawks are going to have to evaluate this entire roster during the offseason. And it's no surprise that there could be some shakeups to try to figure out what they do surrounding Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. Does this play of DeAndre Hunter and just the fact that he is playing well off the bench, and again, you're saying he might start just based on the fact that they need some bodies to start, that's fine. But does this maybe change? I know you can't speak for the front office, but you think this maybe, you know, changes their outlook maybe on DeAndre as far as their future with him?
I think it should. I mean, how long have we been saying, Daniel, that you envision them upgrading at the three at some point? And I think seeing how well DeAndre has been playing off the bench maybe expedites the need for them to do something about that, just so that this team, this roster can be it better. I mean, how much have we talked about how talented this group of guys are? The problem is that they just haven't figured out how to play with each other, or how, or what it is that, you know, everybody's role is. And I think maybe we're starting to see a little bit of that sort of defining of roles in the supporting cast. You have DeAndre Hunter coming off the bench. You know, when Jalen Johnson is healthy, he's somebody that, you know, not only can take some of the ball pressure off of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, but he can also just initiate some of that offense and he can play make. And so I think the more that guys know what their role is, they can continue to star in it. And that's something that Clint Snyder has said, particularly as they've navigated all of those injuries. It's about guys knowing their role and starring in that role. And I think what we've been seeing is that DeAndre has been starring in his role as, you know, the team's sixth man on some nights, or just coming off the bench in general.
This is not me making any excuses, but how challenging is it for not only Quinn, but for the players you talk about, trying to figure out what role they fit? But then you had Trae Young injury. Then you add a Jalen Johnson injury, which you might not be that long, but now you have to readjust again. I mean, how difficult is it to even, one, evaluate and for guys to get acclimated to a certain role when it's all of a sudden going to change again because Jalen's going to be out for at least Saturday or at least for Friday's game. Who knows after that?
Yeah, I think it's extremely hard just because, as you said, you don't have any time to acclimate to anything. But I think the bright side, if you can take anything away from that, is that these guys are continuing to fine tune their skills and add some versatility to their game. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's just a challenge that they have to overcome. You always hear in the NBA, it's a next man mentality. And this is how you figure out who is the person that can step up and who are the people that struggle to do so, not necessarily because they don't want to, but just the circumstances that happen in a game. You know, you just can never predict that sort of stuff.
After we recorded, a couple of days later, the Hawks made a move as far as releasing Patty Mills. What more can you tell us as far as just, I think that was more for Trent Forrest potentially to add a roster spot for him. Was that purely just a numbers move for the Hawks?
Yeah, you know, I think that this team, particularly Snyder, really holds Trent Forrest in high regard. And we've seen him come in and be a guard that can defend, but also just operates in the way that the team needs to. His offensive game may not necessarily have a lot of flash, but he gets the job done. And we saw that in particularly on Wednesday night. And I think with the more minutes that he gets, the more comfortable, as we say, he is going to be in that role as the Hawks' potentially third guard. But I think the other thing, too, is you have to think about where Patty Mills is in his career. And, you know, so I've been speculating. There's absolutely no basis in like conversations that I've had with anybody. This is just purely speculation based on the fact that he did sign Patty Mills. He did sign with the Miami Heat, which is a team that is known to be a perennial contender. And so, you know, I have had to wonder as like, did he have a meeting, you know, with the front office and kind of have that conversation about, hey, you guys are going in a different direction than I'm going in at the point that I'm at in my career. How about we just kind of have a mutual parting of ways so that I can go where my services can be used right now? And so, again, that's purely speculation and just based on the fact that he signed with the Heat, which we know are a team that's going to be gunning for the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I would think that could be a strong possibility. Just like, look, Heat are contenders. I'm not really playing much here.
Yeah.
Let your young guys play. Let me go to a contender. Works out for everyone and everyone is happy. Of course, he goes to a division rival, but that's okay. We appreciate Patty Mills and everything that he did. Before we go, let's kind of look ahead here because after these next two games, which Friday night, Grizzlies on the road, then come back home for a 6 o'clock matchup with the Pelicans who are playing really well. And then it's the daunted West Coast swing for Lauren Williams at Portland, at Utah, at LA, the Clippers and the Lakers. And then you wrap it up with the Suns on March 21st. It's going to be a tough stretch of games here for your Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. And actually, I won't be in Utah because I'm going to be in my friend's wedding on Saturday and she's getting married in Oakland. So I'm just going to go straight to Oakland because, you know, when you're in the wedding party, there are wedding duties. So I will miss Quinn Snyder's first return to Utah since he's returned to the NBA sidelines. It's definitely going to be a tough trip. We know that last season we talked about this all the time of the team trying to, you know, finish that West Coast trip with a winning record. And, you know, as you said, it's going to be a tough task for them, particularly because, you know, we've been seeing the Suns kind of find their way. Obviously, they've had a lot of injuries as well. But, you know, Bradley Beal is figuring things out with his new team. Kevin Durant is still doing Kevin Durant things. The Portland game will be a sneaky game because in theory, you would think that the Hawks should be able to win that game. But knowing that it's going to be a scrappy team that has some young players who are really looking to kind of you know, shine in those roles in a rebuilding team. Again, it's one of those sneaky games, and you want the Hawks to go out and outperform a team that they know is on paper not as strong as they are. And so we've seen the Trailblazers, you know, give other teams problems. We've seen them play very competitively against an OKC team that currently leads the Western Conference. And yeah, it's, as you said, you know, this Hawks team needs to do a better job of winning the games that, quote unquote, they should win. And then obviously, you know, they had success against the Lakers at home, but it's going to be a different beast when they're in Staples Center. The Clippers, they had a hard, you know, they were competitive in that game, but now, you know, with all the travel and being in a different time zone, obviously the Clippers have the advantage there. So yeah, you just want to see this team finish out this West Coast trip as strongly as they can. And of course, you know, here at the Hawks Report, we will be following along with it all. And we look forward to bringing you a new episode next week. Thanks for joining us. As always, I'm Lauren Williams, joined by trusty handy dandy producer Daniel Salerson. And this is the Hawks Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.